The epistle for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12. Brethren, you know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. To one indeed by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another the grace of healing in one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of speeches. But all these things, and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to everyone according as he will. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, standing, prayed thus with himself, O God, I give thee thanks that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as also is this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but struck his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Because everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others, he spoke also this parable. Words taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. John Chrysostom gave an analogy to help us to see just how evil the vice of pride is. It's a very good analogy. He said to imagine in your minds two chariots. Each chariot is pulled by two horses. The names of the two horses pulling one chariot are pride and justice. The names of the other two horses pulling the other chariot are sin and humility. So you have pride and justice pulling one chariot, and sin and humility pulling the other chariot, and both chariots are racing to the finish line. St. John Chrysostom says that the winner of the race will be the chariot drawn by the horses of sin and humility. Because sin will outrun justice. not by its own strength, but by that of humility. My dear friends, how much God loves the virtue of humility and detests the vice of pride shows itself very clearly in our Lord's treatment today in the gospel of the Pharisee and the publican when he says, "He that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." St. Luke writes, "And to some who trusted in themselves as just and despised others." The one despised, that is the publican, he went down into his house justified, but not so the Pharisee. And this because the publican had humility, whereas the Pharisee was filled with pride. Pope St. Gregory the Great says that pride is a most evident sign of the reprobate, and contrariwise, humility of the elect. The word reprobate implies souls who will be lost for all eternity. And Pope Gregory is saying that pride is a mark signifying a path leading to one place, the abode of the reprobate, that is hell. And he says, the contrary is also true, that the virtue of humility is a sign of the elect. That is, those who strive for obtaining the great virtue of humility, they are on the path to heaven. The vice of pride and the virtue of humility both lead to eternity. But how absolutely contrary are these two eternal places, one to the other, heaven and hell. The evil of pride, being the source of all sin, leads to hell, while the goodness of humility directs us on the path to heaven. And how easy it is to see what pride does to a person, we see in the Pharisee in today's gospel. And then how clearly manifest is the virtue of humility, as greatly seen in the publican. They both went into the temple to pray, and how different was their prayer. And they both came out different men. The Pharisee said, "I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, like this publican." How saturated with pride he must have been to say that about this person. St. Thomas Aquinas says that pride is contrary to the love of our neighbor. When a man sets himself inordinately above his neighbor, this is exactly what he did. The Pharisee placed himself on a higher level than the publican. He looked down on him, which is the nature of pride, to see others as beneath you, to think lesser of them. So proud was this Pharisee. St. Luke writes that after the unjust Pharisee thanked God that he was not sinful like this publican, that was not enough. He went on to extol himself, saying, "I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." The Pharisee went on to boast of his works. That's how much pride this man was gripped by. It wasn't enough for him to put down this other person. He had to follow it up with stating his own perceived excellence. And so he gave into boasting. Boasting is one of many sins to which pride leads, some of which are strife. Strife happens very frequently in the home, between in the workplace, between couples. Strife is there because two people, or one or the other, is unable to practice humility, to have the humility to listen to the other. Another one is disobedience, children to their parents. Vainglory. Interestingly, in the 12 degrees of humility mentioned by St. Bernard, the fourth degree of humility is to maintain silence until one is asked. So to remain silent until questioned or engaged is the fourth degree of humility, and it is directly opposed to boasting. Very important to realize that every form of pride is very dangerous, what it can lead to. It insinuates its way like a snake into all good deeds, with the end in view of taking those merits which we would obtain and destroying them, getting rid of them. And just think how much easier it happens when we are not on our guard. If we go off our guard, for instance, during a situation, and all of a sudden we realize afterwards that we are now facing pride within us. We allowed it to show itself forth with no intention of it happening. That's where we have to make the next step with humility and conquer that pride to overcome it. So easy to wish to appear above what we really are. It's part of fallen human nature. Nothing else grows so quickly in us and at the same time dies so slowly. Even though through baptism, on that great day, which most of us do not remember, we have been freed from original sin, nevertheless, we still must continue day after day living our lives with the results, the effects of the sin of our first parents. Human nature. We ourselves. That's where the phrase originated, eventually came to be. We're our own worst enemy. And since we tend to sin, we have to realize that. Because we are drawn to evil, we must be aware of it so that we can be prepared to conquer it. Because as I said before, we know it, pride is present. It's there. It takes constant vigilance on our part and a firm will to overcome pride. It's truly one of those things we will work on until we die. Because as long as we are alive, we have our human nature with us. And therefore, our tendency to sin will be prevalent before our very eyes. But that's no cause for being discouraged. Rather, it's a cause to join battle with our Lord, to carry the cross, to take up our weakness, to put it with our Lord, and to ask Him to help us become humble. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. The desire for knowledge resulted in our first parents, Adam and Eve, from their inordinate desire for excellence. It's interesting to think of, because as we know, pride is the first sin, the sin of our first parents. But what was it that made them fall into it? Their inordinate desire for excellence, not just a desire. We can have great desires. We can have ordinate desires. Rising early in the morning on Sunday this morning and saying, I have to get up Sunday morning. Mass is at 8 o'clock. That is a good, ordinate desire to have. And we strengthen that. But then there is the inordinate desire, as in this case, for the end being excellence, which is what Adam and Eve wanted. That's why the devil, through the serpent, preyed upon them and said, you shall be as gods. That was their temptation. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And because of this original sin, we are infected by the contagion of pride. Our blessed Lord warns us. He doesn't want us to go the path of the fall of our first parents, and that's why he has given us baptism. He has called us to the removal of original sin, and yet we still have these effects of the sin remaining. And that is why our Lord warns us to shun pride and to embrace humility. And of course, he gives us the example of how we can begin to practice humility. Very simple, right in the gospel, where it says the publican prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's the sum total. It's prayer and recognizing our sins. That man recognized his own faults and failings. He didn't look at those of his neighbor. And notice what happens to those who look at the faults of their neighbor. They become like unto the Pharisee who did just that and therefore walked out not justified. And so when the publican finished his prayer, he was justified before God. He obtained pardon of all his sins. And so our Lord concludes, everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Strive then, my dear friends, to today as Holy Mother Church gives us this gospel almost halfway through Pentecost season, 10th Sunday, to renew our efforts to practice humility, to put down that pride, to strengthen the foundation of all the virtues. It's helpful to think of. It is the foundation. Without humility, we can go nowhere. It's almost like a GPS on our phone being lost somewhere, and we can always resort to that. If there's battery power, we can punch in where we need to go and push go. And from there, that point, that foundation point here, we can reach our end. We can get there. St. John Eudes says, whoever has no humility has nothing. Very blunt. And then he says, whoever does possess it has all the other virtues. So one way we can practice humility is to think lowly of ourselves. It does hurt to think that, but again, that means we have pride. And the more we come to realize it, the less painful that realization will be for us. And another way is when someone praises us for something we've done, something good. It could be anything. to take that praise which we want to bring to ourselves. We would like to soak in this praise, to then not do that, but take it and turn it like Our Lady did and give it all to God. St. John Eudes also said on humility, what the devil has destroyed through pride, the Savior has reestablished through humility. So it's the destroyer of all evil and the source of all good. In this way, we will be preparing our soul to receive so many of the graces. We will be preparing our soul to receive so many other virtues, since we will have acquired the foundation virtue, humility. For he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pray then with the publican, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.